I want to talk this morning about finishing each season well. I know we're kind of taking a brief break from talking about the simple gospel, but I think this is covering something that's important and an issue for today, obviously. And I know some years ago that I did share a little bit about this, but again, it's, you know, some messages need to be talked about kind of on a regular basis. And obviously, it seems like, you know, we have had a lot stirring in the spirit as well as in the natural. I know you're all sensitive to all of those things that are going on, as we should be. And the thing is, what we do now, each and every one of us, in this season, will be the difference between just ending and actually finishing well. We don't know exactly what our season is, what we're called to. We need to be, like I said, attentive to what God is doing. But this is definitely a choice, something we have to choose that we're going to do and the path that takes us to finish well. So let's look at some scripture. Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, this is God's great example of finishing well after creating in chapter 1. Chapter 2, you know, doesn't follow chapter 1. It literally goes back and is a recap of a portion of chapter 1. And we're just going to take a look at the first couple of verses. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Verse 2, and on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. So out of the couple of points I want to make, the first one is this: there is rest when you have finished well. I know that in youth ministry, I look back on that because there was a lot of different seasons. And there are long seasons, there are short seasons. When I was doing that, I was in that for probably about 5 years. But within that season of youth ministry over 5 years, there were shorter seasons. We had weekend retreats with the senior high, with the junior high. We had week-long mission trips that we did with the junior high, with the senior high. And so there was all of these trips. And anybody that's worked with youth knows that when you're working with kids, it's like from the moment that you're ready to leave, you're on 24/7. I mean, because you have kids that you're responsible for. And even though you're only maybe one of, hopefully, a bunch of adults, varied, but you're on until you get back to the church, back wherever, and all the kids are picked up and on their way back home. And that season, whether it was a weekend or a week or whatever, it ends. And you finish well, and you know you finish well because they leave and you get this release and there is rest. There is just this rest that comes, a job well done type of thing. And it's very enjoyable to have completed something, finishing well. It does feel good. And we need to teach our children this too. We need youth today to grow up and take on the responsibilities of what they're doing and then finish well in whatever it is that they're called to do. I've often talked about, as my kids got older, as our kids got older, and they get to, you know, age appropriate for doing a simple thing like, you know, mowing the lawn. And I'd, you know, start working with them, walking with them, showing them how to do it, and they would, you know, begin to learn the process. And then they got old enough to be able to, you know, start the lawnmower and do it themselves. And one of the things that I taught them said, when you are finished, when you get to the point where you're done with the job, before you put the lawnmower away, you stop and you turn around and you look at the job that you've done. And you're able to look at that and determine, did I finish well? Because if you turn around and you look and you got all these, you know, 2-inch wide paths of grass that you missed because you didn't overlap, and, you know, it kind of looks like a mohawk out on the front lawn, it's like, okay, it doesn't look that great. You have a choice. Do I go back and finish well? Do I go back and touch it up so it looks? You want to be proud of that. You want to be able to look at that as something that you've completed and is good. You want people to come by and see the glory of God on that. Hey, that looks nice. A job well done, finishing well. And so, again, we teach our children that. We just don't walk out on it half a job half finished or whatever. If you can't have rest in what you've done or what you're finishing, what you're walking away from, if you can't have rest from that, you may not be doing what the Lord has called you to do. And God will never leave you with anxiety where he has called you. And that is, unless you have not or are not finishing well. Honestly, we know that we've had some not finish well. And we know the distress and the stress that that has caused on them. And it continued for some time. Even after they've left, there was not a finishing well. And so there was this stress that was there, a distress that was there that continued on. Some for months, I know some for actually years after leaving, that because not finishing well, that was a struggle. I have two personal examples that I think I've talked about in the past of leaving well. And it was a church that after we were at the Lutheran church, we moved on to Family Church, and we did youth ministry there as well. Everything we did was part of the youth group. I don't think we hardly ever attended the adult services. We stayed in with the youth. And Monica had set up a missions trip for the youth to go down to Birmingham, Alabama. And, you know, again, it's the larger season and the smaller season within that. And, you know, the story on that trip, we ended up going to church that Sunday before we ended up in Birmingham. And it was Michael W. Smith's church. And somebody gave a message in tongues. The kids kind of freaked out because it was just a regular evangelical church. They didn't have any idea what was going on. And the pastor that was with us didn't know what to say. The youth director that was with us didn't know what to say. The other parent that was with us didn't know what to say. And I was the only other adult there. Monica, unfortunately, she was supposed to go, and she ended up having surgery. So she stayed home to have surgery, and I took the kids. And that was, you know, what a strong wife I have. Praise God. She was like, go, I'll do surgery by myself, and you guys do the mission trip. But anyway. And so they had no one to turn to, so they're like looking at me. So I just, you know, share some things from Scripture and tell them, yeah, it's nothing to worry about. Here's what it's all about or whatever. And we ministered throughout the week based on that. And we finished well. It was great. We get back. The kids were happy. Kids had a great time. It was an awesome time of missions work for the youth. And then when we got back, the founding pastor of the church found out that I had been sharing with the kids. He didn't believe in any of that and called me in and basically said, I don't want you having anything to do with the youth. With that, I don't want you saying anything or whatever. And so at that point, we realized, I think our season is done. And so we didn't leave abruptly. We stayed even while they were talking to the youth and trying to explain to them that, you know, tongues isn't for today, and it's just speaking another language, and they did some scripture hopping. And so it took a few weeks for us, but we had a choice at that point. We could have made a big stink, raised the issue within in amongst the church, and caused some dissension among the church, or we could have just kind of slid out and leave things alone. He's the founding pastor. This is his choice. And so that's what we decided to do. So it was unfortunate that we had to do that, but we didn't want to just walk away. We tied up all our loose ends. We finished up what we needed to finish up there, and then we ended up moving on. So we wanted to finish well there. And then the other one that I use is obviously the church that I came from. I was there. At the end, I was an assistant pastor. Had a great gig because it was a paid position, and I was involved in every single aspect of the church. And so I was quite involved, yet I had no responsibility because that was a senior pastor's responsibility. It's always a great position to be in. You watch all the stuff get dumped on him, but I was able to learn and grow and be part of everything. And so I had no reason to leave. I had no idea until you get that from God, that stirring on the inside, and I go from, why would I ever want to leave, to, I need to leave. I don't know why. I don't understand this. I can't be here. And I had to leave and pray and seek God on that, and so did he. And we came back together, compared notes, and it was just the end of the season. That was my learning experience with another finishing well. And so we decided, okay, we got it. We both got the message from the Lord. This is the right thing to do. Peace kind of settles on you when you get that idea and you settle for, okay, God, I'm going to do what you're calling me to do. There is that rest that comes with finishing well. So we just put a plan in place. And, you know, you have an end date, and that's what happened to me. We picked an end date and kind of finished well. And so it's important that we do that because we want that peace that passes understanding. We want that, you want to experience the rest that comes from finishing well, whether that's something as simple as cutting the grass and cleaning your house or something, you know, on a larger scale, a career or something like that. You want to finish well. And I know you're looking at doing something like that. And I came to the end of 27 years of a career, and I went from that career. My boss said, you know, this was actually at the same time. He said, go, do the mission trip. We'll pay your salary during that time. Don't worry about it. When you come back, wrap up your work as quick as you can. We'll pay you to the end of the month. But I want to give you a head start on getting out there doing whatever it is. And what that was, I was called into ministry at that point, and I went right from working there to signing up for Bible college and went into Bible college. And I had this joy, this rest. I finished well. It's just all the circumstances that went with that. Yet, as I drove away from work, I had to pull over to the side of the road because I was overwhelmed with emotion at that point. It's like, I just put in 27 years of my life into this place. And I know it was the right thing. I know it was God's blessing. I know I was going into a new season. I didn't quite understand what that was, what that was going to look like. But there was just that moment of just being overwhelmed with emotion. So it's expected. It's coming. But, you know, God has these seasons, and that should be part of it. I mean, we are people created with emotions. We're supposed to experience joy and peace and that rest that comes from it. But there's a little bit of a separation anxiety that comes with that as well. And you know, I sense that separation anxiety, but I sense the peace in your heart, especially doing what you know God is calling you to do. So Moses, in Exodus, he receives a word from God. Build it like I showed you. Well, let's turn to Exodus chapter 39. And this is where he's being told to build. And the people come on board. He speaks to the people. He tells them, this is what the Lord has spoken to me. Here's the vision I got. And so the people kind of get on board with him, like-minded with the vision. They use their giftings, their talents, and they build a tabernacle. You know, they build a tent, the ark, the furnishings, the coverings, the priestly garments. They do the work. I look at it as a church. We would look at it that way today. And for example, this church would not be if we're not for everyone participating and being a part of it in various ways. Everybody here is contributing, and especially because we're small. There's no one that can just kind of skate away. You know, financially, physically, all of the support, ministering-wise, it's all important. It all counts. It all matters. You know, when you have huge churches, a lot of people there are able to just, you know, contribute financially and then not participate any other way. Those financial contributions are very important, but then you always have a smaller group of people that's involved in other aspects of the ministry. You're always going to have that. It doesn't make any difference. But anyway, Exodus chapter 39, just look at verse 32, because we're talking about finishing well. I'm going to bring this up here. It says, thus all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting was completed. And the sons of Israel did according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. So they did. And like I said, everyone is on the same page, pulling in the same direction, completing the work of the Lord. And they worked until completion. It's interesting, I just point out in that verse, it says, and the sons of Israel did according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. Keep that in mind. It's the sons of Israel that did this work. And now we look at what happens when they finish well. Jump over to Exodus chapter 40, just one chapter to the right. And verse 33, this kind of jumps in at completion. Exodus 40, verse 33 says, he erected the court all around the tabernacle and the altar, and he hung the veil for the gateway of the court. And look what it says, thus Moses finished the work. I'm going to stop right there. Now, we just read, the sons of Israel did according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. And now one chapter later, it says, thus Moses finished the work. I just want to bring that up. As I was in training, in my previous church, one of the things that I learned back then, in when you're in a position of responsibility and in a position of leadership, he basically said, you know, when I ask you to do something, he said, I don't care if you just go and tackle the whole job and do all of it yourself, or if you don't do any of it, you just get a bunch of volunteers to jump in and do the work, and you don't do any of it, you just get it. He goes, I don't care. That doesn't make any difference. It's just something that needs to be done. Now, obviously, on one end, doing it all yourself is going to be really a lot of work, and a lot of burnout comes from that. And on the other end, sitting with your feet up and doing nothing and just telling people what to do is really not being involved in it. So there, obviously, there's somewhere in between. You want to be a part of it, but you need help. And that's why, collectively, the church is the church. So we're a body. We all work together. Everybody has a part, and so there's nobody just sitting. And but it's everybody collectively doing that. And so when it in chapter 39, it says the sons of Israel did according to all the work that the Lord had commanded. Obviously, they were doing the work. But in verse 40, he says Moses finished the work. God was just saying he gave the work to Moses to do. And he expected Moses to go out and get the help. And so that was Moses actually getting the work done. Israel did the physical work, but Moses made sure it got done. So he finished the work that God had called him to do. It's not saying he did it all by himself. Anyway, verse 34, it says, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses, verse 35, Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So the second thing is this, there is his presence, literally the glory of the Lord in finishing well. Both verse 34 and 35 say the same thing. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Two verses in a row says the exact same thing. When you see it like that, he's trying to say this is really important. And his presence shows up and is there when you finish well. And like I said, as I spoke about the youth events, I remember this being part of it. Obviously, his presence was there during that whole time. I remember week-long mission trips. When you're on for that whole time and you're not sleeping well because you know you have to be awake, you have to be alert. Kids get up in the middle of the night and do things like pour buckets of water on the floor of the church that we're staying in and go running and diving and sliding on the floor of the church in their underwear, like on a slip and slide. This is kids, you know. And it was kind of funny. And You kind of laugh about it until you find out one of these kids is your own kid doing this. So you're always on, and it's not even something that you get upset about because this is kids being kids, just kind of growing up, having fun, and it's like, I think we need to do that once in a while. I remember an episode of MASH. I don't know if anybody has seen the series MASH years ago, but the psychiatrist was there. And he was always there helping the doctors because they're up to their elbows in blood and guts putting soldiers back together. And he was there trying to encourage them and keep their minds back together. And one time as he was ready to leave, he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, take my advice. Pull down your pants and slide on the ice." The idea was, you know what, you got to take things lightly even though this is some serious stuff and people are dying at your hand right here and whatever. You know what? Life goes on, and you have to still be able to enjoy life. And so there was the presence of God during this whole time, you know, holding us up, you know, keeping us energized on little sleep and whatever. But I also noticed that at the end, all the kids are gone. Everybody's been picked up. There is that rest that comes, and this the presence of God is there. It's like, job well done. You finished well. And then you end up feeling the grace lift. Because God wants to let you know that your physical body needs to be attended to. So his grace kind of pulls away and you just kind of like, oh my gosh, am I exhausted. And then it's time for physical rest and you go home and take a nap or whatever. But there is still this glory, this presence because you finished well. And so even in that time of going home, getting something to eat, maybe taking a nap, there is rest there. There is this the glorious presence of God involved in finishing well. And so, like I said, there is the satisfaction that comes from that. Well, this is repeated again, this same type of scenario. Turn to 1 Chronicles 28. This is repeated with Solomon. You know, Solomon had to rebuild the temple. And in 1 Chronicles 28, look at verse 20, it says, "And David said to Solomon his son, 'Be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with you. He will not fail you, he will not forsake you, until you have finished all the work for the service of the Lord, the house of God.'" So, when the Lord calls us to something, he is there with us, willing to work through us. And honestly, everything that we do, God wants to partner with us. The work that he wants done, he wants us to partner with them. He could go off, I mean, think about it. In the beginning, they spoke, and everything we see exists because they said so. But when we work today, because their desire was partnership, was relationship, was a love relationship, it is this group effort type of thing. They have some things that they want done. God says, "I want you to partner with me in that." And then he puts that desire in. And we saw from, you know, Rosemary having this desire, I need to go and minister at the nursing home. And she's trying to collect people to help her with that. It's not a hard work. And you too, in the same way. It's not this drudgery that you experience. It's this, I get to do this. I have this desire to do it. And the reason is because God has the desire to go minister, and he wants us to partner. And it's like that, watching your grandchildren or whatever it is you do, ministering at Dunkin' Donuts. I don't care where it is. God will touch you at that moment and say, you know, it is my heart to minister to these people, to these children, to whatever. And so that kind of overwhelms you. That love of God overwhelms you, and you just step out and do those types of things. God wants us to partner with him in everything. And so in this verse, he calls us to be strong and to be encouraged, because it's not always easy to stand to the end and finish well. Honestly, sometimes it's easier just to quit and get out without leaving right. It takes humility to do the right thing and finish well and stay to the end. He specifically says, be strong and of good courage. It takes courage to stick it out to the end and finish well. He says, fear not nor be dismayed, because the idea is you could leave out of just fear and being dismayed and just, you know, it's like I said, it's easier to just throw your hands up and out of fear leave the situation instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to be strong and I'm going to be of good courage and I'm going to finish well. And that's what he's encouraging Solomon to do here. And God stays with us during the hard times, whether it's times of change and moving on or just sticking with it through the hard times. And I've been and try to be as transparent as possible, as much as I possibly can. And for me, continuing here at times is hard because I see the circumstances. I see the things that are going on, and I can't help but be impacted by circumstances. Yet, God has not called me to leave. And so, you know, I talked to Monica about it, and I'm like, you know, where are you at with this? And she's like, I'm not getting it to leave either. So then what are we going to do? We're just going to finish well. We're going to stay here until he says we're done. And that's it. When he says, you know, I'm done, then it's time to move on. And if he says I'm not done, then I need to go back to this and be strong and of good courage and do not fear nor be dismayed. So he sends interesting things our way to help us through these times. For example, we were kind of struggling a little bit this week, and all of a sudden we both get this email from God TV, and there is a clip of Mike Bickle and his wife talking about their next season. And their next season is they're wrapping up their annual conference that they do in December, and they said they're not going to do the conference anymore. And they're being called to kind of pull back a little bit, to kind of narrow things down and get back to basics. Get back to the love of God, get back to relationship. And I'm like, he's talking my language, because, I mean, that's what God has called us to. And then he goes on, he goes, yeah, he's been stirring on my heart. And through the summer, this really kind of came forth strong that this is what we need to do and make it all about relationship. And so he's pulling back from all of this great ministry that they're doing just because this is what God is calling them to do. And so I'm like, okay, you know, that's what we're on. We're working. We're pulling everything back. We're talking about the love of God, the simple gospel, and it seems like this is not the only place that's doing that. So that's the encouraging word that we get. So turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. We're still talking about finishing each season well. 2 Chronicles 5, verse 1. Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished, and Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, silver, the gold, and the instruments. He put it among the treasures of the house of God. Honestly, this should sound familiar. The temple was completed, and then they furnished it. It's like we know someone that was going to sell their house, and then they were going to buy a piece of land and have a house built. And the thing that they did not do was sell that house that they were in and take all their stuff and move into a tent on the piece of land they bought and live in the tent while the workers worked around them, dug the foundation and all of that. So, no, they sold their house, but they stayed there through the process, and they purchased the land, they built the house, and then they furnished the house. They put all of their things in the right places. In this case, it's the house of the Lord. So it's they brought in all the things dedicated, the silver, the gold, and all the instruments and the treasuries of the house of God. So it's talking about you personally. You furnish your house. You bring in all of your stuff. When you guys move into your new house, you're going to do that. You're going to find the house or build the house or whatever, and then you're going to move all of your stuff in there. And once your stuff is in there, then you're going to be able to say, you know, finishing well. Now it's time to move in because you're finished. We moved out here 20, it'll be 26 years ago. And we finished well at the last season, and then we began the new season by having all of our stuff packed in the new house, which was quite a bit smaller than our first house. And we lived with boxes that were eyeball high. You know, you come home from work and you're like, squeeze into the house. And every day it was, okay, take a couple of boxes, open them up, wash the dishes, put them away, do whatever you need to do, open a box. Why did we move this? That goes to the curb for trash. We all have too much stuff, I think. And it's this process, though, of preparing the house, preparing where you live. But again, we're talking about finishing well. Look down to verse 13, 2 Chronicles 5, 13. It says, it came to pass, this is obviously time went by to show the completion, and then they celebrated. It says, the trumpeters and singers were as one to make a sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with trumpets and cymbals and instruments and music, they praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, his mercy endures forever. And what happens right when they're in the middle of praising God for this work that they just completed? They finished well. And what happens? Then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, verse 14, so that the priests could not stand to even minister by reason of the cloud. For what happened? The glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. I love that. The glory of the Lord filled the house of God again. Honestly, I want the glory of the Lord to fill me, his house, as I consider myself his house, because I finished well. I want that to be the case. And us as a church, we're always looking for the glory of God to settle here. We're always looking for his presence. Honestly, we're looking to be aware of his presence that is always here. And so we need to be aware of that. And so the idea is, if you're called to be here, be here. If you're called away, finish well and move on. You know, we shouldn't stay when we're called to a new season. And again, we've all seen examples of not finishing well. And unfortunately, it impacts more than one person. It impacts more than just the person that's leaving and not finishing well. It has ripple effects that go on beyond that. That's why it's really important to finish each season well. So in the book of Joshua, Israel is told to take Jericho. If you want to turn there, try to go a little quicker here. Joshua chapter 4, but he's told to take Jericho. They're on the final approach. The only thing between the people of God and the place that he wanted for them was the Jordan River at flood stage. the priests enter the river with the ark, and the river parts to let them cross on dry ground. And it was dry ground that they crossed on. And God doesn't want them to forget this. He wants them to remember. And so you remember the story, he's told to take 12 stones from the river for a monument. And we'll jump in Joshua 4 at verse 9. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. It doesn't mean he set them up in the Jordan. They took stones from the Jordan. They cross over. They pick up. They pick people, one from each tribe, and go get a big boulder from where the priests are standing on the dry riverbed, and pick that up and bring that. We're going to make a monument. And it says, "For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua." And the people hastened and passed over. Now, can you imagine this? All the people are crossing over. You have a whole lot of people crossing over. And then he's going to blab on and talk to the people and tell the people everything that Moses had told him. So he's sharing all this stuff. Meanwhile, the priests are standing there in the middle of the riverbed with the ark, holding back the waters. We were just in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We were at a wedding. And so I took a quick map look where we were going to be staying, how far that was from the airport. And I was able to see a satellite view. And I noticed this, I didn't know what it is, a tunnel, a roadway. I couldn't figure out what it was that ran like across the city. Houses kind of on both sides. It didn't look like a highway, but it didn't have anything on it. So I'm zooming in a little closer. It turns out it's a culvert. It's a concrete, probably 30-foot wide culvert. What it was basically a man-made riverbed. And I'm thinking, okay, we're in the desert. 5% humidity, hardly ever rains. What do they need this drainage ditch for running through the city? Well, when it does rain in the desert, it rains all at once, lots of it, and it has no place to go. People don't have front yards and backyards with grass for the water to absorb into. They have rock gardens because nothing grows there. It's dry. And so there's this huge culvert that runs through the city to basically have everybody dump all the water there so they don't get washed away in a flash flood. So now I get the picture. Here are the priests holding the ark, and they're standing in this 30-foot wide, okay, this was a concrete, but imagine it was a dry riverbed. And you could probably hear the water upstream kind of wanting to make its way down. It's like, here's a point to trust God, going, you know, we're standing here. Any second that water lets loose and we're going to be washed away into oblivion. And it's like, and there's Joshua going on and on about what Moses told him to tell the people. And I can imagine the priests are going, shut up already. We want to get out of this riverbed. Kind of, you know, if you let your imagination run with what they're involved with there, I mean, there's some trying times. It's like you look at circumstances around you, and it's like, this doesn't look good. Can we kind of move on here? And verse 14 says, "And it came to pass that all the people were clean passed over." This is King James Version. I like that because it says, when they were clean passed over, they were clean when they passed over. They were not trudging through muck and mire. And God made sure that it was dry. It says that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people. So my point is, God's not in a hurry. He is more interested in us finishing well than he is in us finishing fast. If you have to do something right now or else, that should raise some red flags. I'm sure a lot of you have gotten that phone call and said, we're running this special 90% off, and I need your credit card right now, and you got 5 minutes, and you don't have time to think about it, you don't have time to make a decision, just give me your credit card and you'll buy this. And you know what? If you had the opportunity to sleep on it overnight, what am I, crazy? It's not even worth, you know, my time. But that's the whole point. It's hurry, hurry, hurry. You can't think about it. You need to just make this decision really fast. And then you end up making a bad decision because you're like, what do I do? What do I do? And so you're trying to make the right decision, but you don't have, you know, God is not in a hurry. And this kind of leads to that other point of, when you're in those situations where you're not sure what you should be doing, don't be in a hurry. Get counsel. And I'll kind of wrap it up with some scriptures that talk about the importance of us being the body. And you know, whether you get counsel here or you get counsel on the outside, the body is the body. It doesn't make any difference. It's stuff you should probably talk about when you need to make a major decision. So I'm just going to run through really quickly. Proverbs 1:5 says, "A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain to wise counsels." It's important that we get counsel into things that we're doing. Proverbs 11:14, "Where no counsel is, the people fall, but with the multitude of counselors there is safety." And we can see that when if you make a rash decision, and I would assume y'all have done that, because I've done that, you know, make a dumb decision, it's like, yep, that seems like the right thing, make the decision, go forward with that, and then later you realize that was really a bad thing, and, you know, I don't have peace about it, it doesn't work how you want it to work, I thought it seemed like the right idea at the time, it would have probably been a good idea to get counsel, but where there is no counsel, the people fall. And I've had that experience myself. And so it's important. There is a multitude, a safety in a multitude of counselors. Proverbs 15:22 says, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed." And again, same thing. You know, if you don't get counsel, you just make that decision and rush into something, and you're probably going to be disappointed. I know I have in times in my life. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Proverbs 24:6, "By wise counsel, you shall make war, and in a multitude of counselors, there is safety." So there is safety because there's good decisions that are thought through. I've had the opportunity to be in those situations where someone was going to make a decision and I was part of that council and able to say, you know, no, I don't think this is the wise thing to do. And the person was really interested in moving forward with that decision. And I had such a check in my spirit going, no, and I took the stuff that I was responsible for and I just slid it across and I said, if you feel so strongly about it, you need to do this, then go ahead and do it, but I can't be a part of it. And at that point, the person said, okay, you know, it's like it made, the person really took my counsel and said, okay, there's something more here. If I have that strong of a check in my spirit that I don't even want to be a part of it, they rethought their position and changed their mind. Proverbs 20, verse 18, "Every purpose is established by counsel." It's important to know that every purpose is established by counsel. Proverbs 12:15 explains why. "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkens unto counsel is wise." The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Like I said, we've probably all experienced that, doing something foolish and then going, oh, that was really bad, I shouldn't have gone there. And it's important that we seek wise counsel in doing these things. Proverbs 19:20, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in the latter end." This is just, again, talking about finishing well. And, you know, I'm always open to input here as a church. Many have given input, and it's important. I learned a long time ago, though, that you don't send out surveys, because as soon as you put out a survey, what should we be involved in, what should we do, what kind of music, but you send out any kind of survey and you get the input back, because you go through and you go, okay, here's kind of the general feel for what we should do, then the 40% of the people didn't think that way, that thought it should have been something else, are like, why did you ask if you weren't going to take my advice, type of thing. It was like, this was a survey, this wasn't, we're going to do what each person is, you know, giving input on. So there has to be some wisdom used with all of that. Anyway, once you've attained to wise counsel and have the word of the Lord, it's important that we stand. We just, you know, I know this is the right thing to do. It may not feel completely right. It may be some, you know, some emotions involved with all of that. But you have to look at it. Is this what God is saying? And then we stand. For time's sake, I'm just going to read it. Ephesians chapter 6. You all know the scripture, verse 12 and 13. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against powers, against the forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm." King James says, "and having done all, to stand." And the point is, you will never finish well if you never stand. There is a point where you just say, no, this is the right thing, I'm going to stand. And this is the decision, God is setting this course before me, I'm standing in that decision. I'm not going to change my mind because it's uncomfortable or whatever. It's that come hell or high water, I'm going to stand. And by the way, that phrase, come hell or high water, is talking about the old cowboy days when they were driving cattle across the blazing hot plains and through the flooded rivers and whatnot. And they had to get the cattle from where they were over to the trains to be taken to, you know, slaughterhouse or whatever they were being. That was their job. And come hell or high water, they had to get the job done, no matter what they went through. And it's standing in that. It's saying, nope, this is what God called me to. I'm going to stand in that. And 2 Timothy 4, this is where Paul was coming to his end at this point. In verses 6 through 9, he says, "For I am ready, already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." We get a crown of righteousness for finishing well. Basically, let me say it this way. Finishing well is rewarding, and it has his glory on it. So whenever we are finishing well, we know that we're going to be rewarded for that. We're going to be doing well by finishing well. If you think about it, Paul was a murderer. He was a lawbreaker in the natural. But ultimately, God got a hold of his heart. He followed what God was calling him to do. The disciples did the same thing. They didn't do everything perfectly. They went out and did the best they could, but they listened to God, and God blessed them in the work that they were doing. And I've shared this once before. It's a quote from A.W. Tozer. I have no idea where I got this from. I was reading something. The quote was really good, so I grabbed a hold of the quote, but now I don't know where it came from. So just trust me. This is from A.W. Tozer. I'll read what he said. He said, "For years, I have made a practice of writing many of my earnest prayers to God in a little book, a book now well-worn. I still turn often to the petitions recorded in the book. I remind God often of what my prayers have been. One prayer in the book, and God knows it well by this time, for I pray it often, goes like this. O God, let me die rather than to go on day by day living wrong. I do not want to become a careless, fleshly old man. I want to be right so that I can die right, Lord. I do not want my life to be extended if it would mean that I should cease to live right and fail in my mission to glorify you all of my days." As you will recall from 2 Kings 20, the Lord gave Hezekiah a 15-year extension of life. Restored to health and vigor, Hezekiah disgraced himself and dishonored God before he died and was buried. He said, "I would not want an extra 15 years in which to backslide and dishonor my Lord. I would rather go home right now than to live on, if living on was to be a waste of God's time and my own. Jesus is victor. Please, Father, help me to finish well. Amen." And so it's really important that we do finish each season well. The last couple of scriptures, I'll leave you with this. John 17:4 says, "I glorified you," this is Jesus speaking to his dad, and says, "I glorified you on the earth by accomplishing the work which you have given me to do." So Jesus finished well because he always did what he saw the Father doing. He only did what he saw the Father doing. And so for him, it was finishing well. John chapter 19, verse 30 says, "Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." Again, talk about trusting the Father to death. They had a plan, and he was still human and still had human emotions because he knows exactly how we feel every step of the way. And so the idea is taking a stand and finishing well and leaving the outcome to the Lord. Finishing well is trusting God in the actual outcome of whatever that is he's calling you to. So the time it takes is not always in our control, but it's in God's control. Honestly, all we need to do is listen to his voice. You are assured that this is what God is calling you to do. Finish well, the next season will start well. Like I said, I know we've experienced people that have not finished well, and so they weren't able to finish well. They weren't able to rest from that. We're not able to experience the glory of God on finish since they did not finish well. And then moving into a new season without finishing the old season well, presents you're not even in a place where you should be, and so there is going to be this continual unrest. And I know that's not what God has for us, and all we need to do is be sensitive to the Lord and be good with what God is taking us through. Amen. And so we bless you in what you're doing. We honor you for listening to the heart of God and just being willing and obedient. May we all be willing and obedient. Amen.